Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying It's Never Too Late, Bible Bits from Genesis. In this session, we'll be looking at Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. It's never too late. Immorality has overrun our nation. Christianity is mocked and ridiculed. Persons professing Jesus Christ are living in sin, and the church looks like the world. Is there any hope for change? Well, yes. The church must get back to its business, witnessing to the power of Jesus to change lives and preaching the gospel of salvation in Christ. How did things get so bad anyway? Well, let's look at an old story to try to answer that. Turn to Genesis with me in chapter 3. I believe we can see a trend that started there and has progressed far beyond, a trend that begins with temptation. First, natural curiosity. Satan is very efficient, and he wouldn't have used the tree if Eve didn't have a problem with it. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Listen, God has limits on learning. Romans 16 verse 13 tells us, for your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. We're to discern evil spiritually. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So there is a natural curiosity. Second, there's an awakening of conscience. God provided a way to control curiosity with a conscience. Look at verses 2 and 3 of Genesis chapter 3. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Eve was reminded of what God had said. Romans chapter 2, verse 15, will show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. So there is an awakening of conscience. Third, there's a sensual focus in this process. Eve was completely overwhelmed and insensitive to her conscience. Look at verse 6 of Genesis 3. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. It was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes, and it would make one wise. So there's a sensual focus. And then fourth comes a questioning of Scripture. Look at Satan's question in verse 1. Has God indeed said? Has God indeed said? Has God indeed said that alcohol is wrong? Has God indeed said that tobacco is wrong? Gambling is a sin? Sex must be in marriage? Divorce is not an option? Homosexuality is the vilest perversion of sex? Abortion is murder? Has God said these things? Then, when we look to God's ways, Satan continues to deceive. Look at verses 4 and 5. And then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So there's a questioning of Scripture. And then there's a violation of conscience. Adam and Eve sinned. And look again at verse 6. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." Listen, once the toothpaste is out of the tube, it's hard to get it back in. And that's what sin is like. So there is a violation of conscience. And then sixth, there's an awakening of guilt. Even after the conscience was ignored, God provided another way to begin dealing with the problem of sin. And that's with guilt. There are many different sins, but let me tell you, it's the same guilt. Look at verse 7. "And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." And God's solution to all of man's sin is the same. It's also the same. Just as guilt results from all kinds of sin, all kinds of sin have the same solution: forgiveness. Forgiveness. So there's an awakening of guilt. And then the issue becomes response to the guilt. Seventh, they knew they had to do something. Possible responses: well, do good to appease God, or rationalize the sin away, or just repeat the sin. But man was not designed by God to carry guilt. Psychologists and psychiatrists have limited success and often do much harm. This is the critical point for every person. Beyond the Genesis story are the flood, Sodom, captivity, and it goes on. The problem is this. The problem is that guilt is spiritual. It's not emotional. It may express itself emotionally, but it's spiritual. It's God giving you that in response to your sin. Is there true repentance? Well, sorrow for the sin committed, or are you just sorry for getting caught by the consequences? 1 John 1:9 makes it clear. If we confess our sins, if there is true repentance, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So there is a response to guilt, some kind of response. It may be to stay in sin. And then eighth, there can be incomplete repentance. The person works at secretly desiring to sin and get away with it. The church often is guilty of not calling sin, sin. Trying to avoid controversy. Trying to avoid confrontation. So there can be incomplete repentance. And then ninth, there can become religious compensation. The person tries to forget guilt by doing religious deeds. So there can be religious compensation, and it's a very natural part of the process. And then tenth, there develops frustration with desires. Sin not dealt with keeps the problem alive. The person just can't seem to turn over a new leaf. James chapter 1 and verse 8 says he's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But the solution is still the same. James chapter 4 verses 8 through 10 tell us, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So there becomes frustration with desires, and then 11th is a reexamination of Scripture. Oh, God's ways are old-fashioned. But who changed? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So there's a reexamination of Scripture. And then 12th, there's a justification of immorality. Remove the standard. Liberal thinking says, we'll decide what's right and wrong. And then reinterpret Scripture to fit. But right theology holds to a verbal plenary view of inspiration, that God inspired all of it and he inspired every word. And the right theology holds that the Bible is inerrant and infallible. It's inerrant, but there are no errors in it, and whatever it speaks about, it's infallible. The Bible is not a science textbook. The Bible is not a biological document, a biology textbook. But whenever it speaks about science, whenever it speaks about biology, it is infallible. So there's a justification of immorality. And then fifth, and then last, there is argumentation. The person now has to convince others of their views. Open sexual immorality, well, it's consensual. Abortion, well, it's the woman's body. Homosexuality, well, they're born that way. We're all born with a sin nature, bent on sinning in some manner, but it's all still sin, and it's never too late to confess and repent. And you know, the church sleeps through it all. Someone said the commissioned shapers of society as salt and light have instead been shaped by society. The spiritual giant must be awakened. And the awakening must begin with each individual Christian. How? Well, let me just suggest a couple of things. First, let the Word of God be your standard. Let it be the rule that you measure against. Second, keep an open communication with the Lord through prayer. And third, obey the Lord's command, regardless of how good the alternative seems. Luke 9:23, Jesus said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. It's about eating spiritual angel food or devil's food. Listen, God gives grace to do his will. You think about all that as we begin this study, and you have a great day.